Today's reading will be from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and were together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
We pray together. Father, thank you for your word of truth and life to us, and as we come to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Spirit to hear what you are saying to us and to prompt us as we seek to be faithful and wholehearted followers of Jesus. Amen. Just prior to our Lord's ascension, he gave his disciples a command. He told them to go and make disciples of all the nations. He didn't say to go and make them Christians. Discipleship is what we're at this morning. Discipleship is central to who we are. And again, as we have drilled into us, as we have on our banner, that strapline or statement that we have from the Methodist Church in Ireland, that together we are living wholeheartedly as followers of Jesus for the transformation of the world. Discipleship is a journey of commitment and discovery. And it's done in the context of community. Today, for just a few minutes, I want us to reflect on small groups. We have our Life Together groups here in Sydenham, and many churches have small groups, whatever they are called, and however they are structured. The small group structure is part of our Methodist DNA. It's part of who we are. John Wesley is credited, of course, as being a fantastic evangelical preacher, but also as a great organizer. Wesley, of course, never intended for there to be a separate Methodist Church. We were talking a little bit about this on Wednesday, Welcome Wednesday, weren't we, with those of us at that table? But he observed at that time that the Anglican Church was struggling spiritually. He wanted people to be more zealous and passionate in their relationship with the Lord. And so his intention was for people to attend morning prayer and the Eucharist at their local Anglican church, and then to gather together on the Sunday evening for worship and for teaching, and then during the week to gather together in their small groups. This was where the discipleship was done. It's where people grew in their faith and in their commitment for Christ. He wrote in April 1788, "No circuit ever did nor ever will flourish unless there are bands in the large societies." In fact, in those days, you had to be a member of the class meeting, as they were called then. John Wesley deliberately placed the bar high for discipleship. He expected a lot from individuals, and through that, we can conclude how the church grew and flourished. Now, a quarter of a millennia still on, the church group structure is a vital way for the church to thrive and flourish. Maybe we're actually, time will tell on this, moving into a phase in the church's life when the small group will become the main part of church. Who knows? Who knows how the Spirit is going to lead us? Certainly there are times and rhythms where the small group is church for a person. When our children were younger, and you know, they were dealing with issues of anxiety, and Darren just wasn't able to get out to church on a Sunday morning, because I had to be here, and she wasn't able to get out, but she so valued the small groups, and the small group that she was involved with was church for her. That was church for her. But there are different rhythms that we have in our lives. So for us in Sydenham, why do small groups, or what do small groups entail, and how are they structured? Our Life Together groups have about 5 to 8 people in each, and they are single sex groups. There's various arguments about the nature and structure of such groups, and each church needs to come to its own conclusion as to what is most appropriate in their own setting. But my intention this morning is simply to encourage those of you who are already in small groups, of which there are about 30, over 30, but also if you're not in a small group, preferably consider if you might think about joining a small group, and please have a conversation with me. I'd love to see more people join in into our small groups. So what's the value of being part of a Life Together group? In a moment, I'm going to invite Ed to come forward and share some of his reflections on being part of a small group, especially in the context of Ed having been with us for not a particularly long period of time as a fairly newcomer to the church. So what are the values that we hold? Let me briefly name them without going into any depth here. First of all, is about relationship. It's about fellowship. It's impossible often to get to know everybody in a congregation really well, but with a small group, you get to know some people really well. There's a depth of relationship that you experience. And of course, in that, the social aspect is important. Some people think, well, it's not particularly spiritual or holy if we go out for a coffee or have a meal together. But it is, for God is there. And we're getting to know each other, and we're building relationships, and we're deepening relationships. That's fellowship. There's obviously the element of pastoral care and support. As you share with others more closely in your group, you find that confidential space to share what's going on in your life with all the joys and with all the challenges that we experience. There's obviously the devotional aspect of small groups. Meeting together as God's people includes reflecting on Scripture. It includes wrestling with some of the issues that we face today. But we do that in the context of sharing with each other in a safe space. And of course, there's mission. There's about serving others as well. Because a small group shouldn't be just inward looking. It should also always be outward looking as well. Looking to serve others in the community. So with those my thoughts, I'm going to invite Ed to come forward and take a couple of minutes to share what he wants to share, and then I'll offer some thoughts to conclude.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul, an older Christian man, writing to a younger man, says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Everything in the Scriptures is God's word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people and for correcting them and showing them how to live. The Scriptures train God's servants to do all kinds of good deeds. So what do I value about small groups? Well, a number of things. Making friendships and deepening my knowledge of those friends as we learn from each other. Being encouraged to think, plan, and pray about developing my Christian walk. having prayer support in the pluses and minuses of life, being built up in confidence that can lead to confession, concerns, purposes and priorities, and can sometimes be shared with the group. Meeting face to face is best, but during COVID, we were also able to meet online, and that was important. Sometimes sharing food or coffee together is a real encouragement. As a minister, I have met in small groups at different times with friends and other ministers from other denominations. As we studied the Bible and prayed together, we were all strengthened. My wife Heather was a member of CFC on the Hollywood Road for over 20 years before she became my better three quarters and became a Methodist. As a district nurse, she often had to work at weekends and was unable to be at Sunday worship. So her small group was most important to her. She tried really hard never to miss it. It was a lifeline to faith, sharing, having supported friends. And when we retired and joined Sydenham, I admit I was disappointed that Heather and I couldn't join a small group together, as up to now they have been, as Robin says, single-sex groups. But, Heather got fantastic support from her group of friends, Valerie and Orla, Joanne and Judith and others, during the difficult days and the blessed days before she died. Jesus had 12 disciples, we know that. But he also had a small group, if you want to call it that. It was with Peter and James and John that he went separately to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was facing his greatest trial, Matthew 26. You might say that Jesus knew the value of a supportive small group. If Jesus needed it, surely we do. A small group for me, in conclusion, is to help me get to know more about God and myself and others. And as we study the Bible and pray and laugh sometimes and share together, it can help us all to experience the wonder, the mystery, the love, and the purpose of God in our lives.
Thanks, Ed. Many of you who are in small groups will be able to share your own experiences of what it is, how it is helpful for you. Acts 2 gives an account of the early church. And it's an early church being in community. It tells us about their values as a fledgling Christian community. It's believed that during its first 25 years, the Jerusalem church grew from 120 people to over 50,000 people. Where do they put everybody? Answer: small groups. It's how their early church was. It's about being in community in a smaller setting. House groups, it's where they met. In Acts 2, we read of how they shared life together. They regularly ate food together. They enjoyed each other's company. They supported each other, selling their own possessions to share with each other. They shared in the sacrament, prayed together. We are built for community. We need each other in this journey known as discipleship. So if you're not in a small group, would you prayerfully consider about being in one? If you would like to ask more questions, I would love to chat with you about them. It's a place where you can be yourself, where you can ask questions about life and faith and explore them together in community. We need each other to grow and to flourish. That's why God has made the church, so that as God's people, we are in community as we grow in our faith. Amen.